Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I want to invite you to open your scriptures to the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1 in the Word of God here this morning. Well, I want to ask you as we begin here today, I want to ask you this question. Are you tired of it yet? What's the truth? I mean, think of all the rumors. Something like this. China started all of this, and what they're really trying to do is to get ready to attack the United States, why we are weak and vulnerable. Or maybe somebody else may say, the only way to beat this is for everyone to be vaccinated. And so everyone's going to have to get vaccinated and they're going to have to be forced to carry paperwork or they're going to put some sort of invisible ink into your system so they can see it when they put some sort of device on you or else they're going to put a microchip in you to make sure that everybody is vaccinated and we can defeat this. And of course, this sounds like the Antichrist. Or maybe someone else would say this. The government is just doing this to show how much control it can have over people and over churches. Or somebody else might say this. The virus must not really be that dangerous if Fauci, who's 80 years of age, is running around without a mask on. It must not be that dangerous. Or someone else may say, we can't lighten up on the restrictions now, it's too dangerous. And somebody else will say, dangerous, nothing. If we don't lighten up on the restrictions, the economy is in danger here. They can't keep us jailed up in our homes. Are you tired of it yet? What is the truth? Is it CNN or is it the conspiracy theorists? Is it the media or is it the president? Are you tired of it yet? I wonder if you saw it this week that there was a video online of two entrepreneurial ER doctors. And they made a video, I didn't see the video, but they made a video, I guess, minimizing the impacts of the virus. And on my own social media account, I have a friend who is the wife of a doctor, and she was just shredding that video saying, this isn't true, and this isn't true, and this isn't true, and this isn't true about this video that these people put together. The next day on my social media account, I had another friend who was all up in arms because YouTube took down the video of these two doctors. What is the truth? Are you tired of it yet? And listen, I want to settle this once and for all, right now in this message, so you know what the truth is. And let me tell you, here it is. I don't know the truth about all of this COVID-19 stuff. I don't know everything about all of this. But I do know this today. I know that we have the truth. And listen, if there's a sense in which you're frustrated, if there's a sense in which you're agitated about all of the misinformation, and you're agitated about all the theories, and you're agitated about the media, or a president, or whoever you're agitated about, and you're frustrated, I just wish we could know the truth. I want you to stop for a moment and realize that we have the truth. And I want you to just enjoy that. Bask in it. Revel in it. Just rejoice in the truth that we have. So our text this morning is John chapter 1. Let me read verse number 14 where the Word of God says this. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then it says, look at verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I want you to enjoy the truth. What is the truth? And I want you to see three wonderful principles about the truth of the Word of God here today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the truth and may we enjoy it. Lord, help us to be focused in on it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The first truth, if I can say it that way, the first principle from the Word of God that I want you to see about truth is this. The truth is Jesus. Do you understand that? The truth is Jesus. See, John began his gospel here with this concept. In the beginning was the Word. Now, what do we do with words? We talk with them, right? We communicate with words. And that's what God was doing. You know, have you ever heard somebody and they'll say something like this, I just wish that God would open His mouth and He would speak to us. And if God would do that, then I would know that there really is a God. Or somebody else might say, I just wish that God would show up on this planet. Boy, if God would just show up on this planet, I would know that there really is a God. And friend, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is God's Word. He is the way that God communicated. You know, there was actually times when Jesus Christ walked on this earth that God spoke from heaven and people heard it. But God communicated through Jesus Christ and He gave people that word that people were looking for. People wanted to hear from God and Jesus showed up as the testimony, as the word that God really is the truth. Would you look at verse number 9? I hope that you have your Bibles. Make sure that they're open. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse number 9. He's talking about Jesus and he says, that was the true what? Light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus is the Word and Jesus is the light. And the passage says He's the true light. The word true there isn't necessarily the opposite of false, but it's the opposite of something that's imperfect. It's the opposite of something that's just a symbol. He's the true light. He's the real light. And then coming down into verse 14 that we already read, the Word came. And you know, as we see the fact that the Word, God's message, God's messenger came and lived amongst human beings, verse number 17, it's kind of like John's talking to the Jews. You know, the Jews were really excited about their Old Testament Mosaic Law. They were just really thrilled to have that Mosaic Law. They were so excited about that. And John says of Jesus Christ here, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Some Bible students, as they look at that verse, they say, you know what that's probably referring to is right around the time, Exodus chapter 34, Moses had received the law from God. And Moses wanted a little bit of a revelation of God, and God appeared and he described himself as the God of mercy and truth. Moses, who gets the law, gets a little bit of a glimpse of God as being the God of mercy and truth. Very similar wording to here, grace and truth. That's God. He's the God of grace and truth. And it's kind of like, well, John is saying this. Okay, listen, Moses wanted to see the God of grace and truth. Well, listen, let me tell you, Jesus is it. That very God that Moses wanted to see. You're all excited about Moses' law. But listen, Moses was excited about God, the God of mercy or grace and truth. And that God of mercy and truth, the God that gave Moses the law, is right here. He's Jesus. He's exciting. When it talks about here, he's the God of grace and truth. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. There's a little bit of an indication there that idea of truth is reality. So much of the Old Testament was a picture, wasn't it, of Jesus who would come? It was a picture looking forward to that. Some people say it was like a shadow, and Jesus then was the real thing. You know, many years ago, my wife and I were getting ready to be married, and we decided that for our honeymoon that we wanted to go to Estes Park, Colorado. Here we were in Bible college, we were seniors and we're planning our wedding and we're planning for our honeymoon and we would get online or we would make phone calls and we would get this stuff coming to the dorm, all this different stuff from Colorado and Estes Park, Colorado, see this, go here, stay here, do this, you know, all these different things. And we would go through this different material there and we made our plans, and as awesome as it was to see the magazine, it was even greater to be there, right? And to go up to Rocky Mountain National Park there and to see the mountains and the views and to experience all of those things. It was even better in person. And listen, that's the way the Old Testament law was. As great as it was with all of the shadows, as great as it was with all of the pictures, it was so much better when God was in person in Jesus Christ. And that's what we have. Hey, listen, have you ever heard somebody say this? It's so nice to meet you after all I've heard. And we usually ask, well, what did you hear? But the point being that they've heard so much about them, but it's another whole thing to actually meet them. And the Old Testament law tells us so much about Jesus Christ, but now we get to meet Him. He is the reality. He is the truth. Listen, I want to remind you that the truth is Jesus. Christianity is true. Christianity is real. God is real. Jesus is real. Now listen, maybe you're listening to this message today and you're saying, but doesn't every religion out there, and even some non-religions, if I can describe them that way, atheism, claim that they're true? They do. But I would just submit to your consideration that the Bible is a far more substantiated book than any other ancient book. Christianity is true. I would just tell you that history and archaeology over and over and over again verify that the Bible is true. Christianity is true. Jesus is true. And I would just tell you today that Christianity is reasonable and it has very good answers to some of the questions of life. For example, a person might stop and they might ask the question, how did everything come into existence? They might ask that question. And I'll be honest, in my way of thinking at least, evolution doesn't make sense. I mean, if you want to trace it back far enough, who created the first matter that's going to explode or bang together or whatever? And even if we ask the question about matter, where did time come from? If it evolved over millions and billions of years, where did time come from? Who brought time into existence? And here's another one. Where did space come from? I mean, who actually made space? What made space so that you could have space in order for something to explode or evolve or something like that? Evolution doesn't have the answers to that. Evolution cannot go back far enough, but listen, God can. And the Bible describes a God who existed outside of time. That answers that question. A God who has all of the power to exist on His own, and therefore He can bring everything into existence. And if He's a God who's existed forever and has all the power, then He's a God who never changes. And as a God who never changes, He is a God who is going to be absolutely true, absolutely reliable, and He cannot lie to you. He is trustworthy. He is the truth. All of the ingredients of God and all of the ingredients of what kind of God would have to exist to bring the universe into existence all fit together perfectly. What we have is the truth. The truth is Jesus. And listen, I understand that there are times in which people go through things in life. There are hard times, there are bad times, even like what our world's going through now. And people say, well, listen, if we're going through all of these different things, how can there really be a God? How can Jesus be true? Well, listen, I want to tell you that we can't always figure God out. And God's got bigger plans than what I can think up here. It's not because God is untrue, but rather God is greater and wiser and more powerful than I am. And He's continuing to work even when I don't understand it, when it doesn't seem like it. God is true. Jesus is true. And listen, the truth matters. Can I remind you that men took over airplanes, flew them into buildings, killing themselves and multitudes of other people, and they woke up in eternity thinking that they were following the truth. They woke up in eternal agony, realizing that it was a lie. Can I remind you that there are people, there have been in the history of our world, people in primitive jungles of our world, who, when a mother would give birth to twins, would kill the second born of those twins, thinking that it was demonic. Can you imagine what it is then to wake up in eternity realizing that they had followed not the truth, but a lie? No doubt within this last year, some grandfather somewhere in the United States breathed his last and was awakened in a place of eternal flames. He'll be there for millions and millions of years. But I wonder what it was like for him to realize that his lack of spiritual leadership and enjoying the pleasures of this life not only caused him to go there because he had no time for Jesus Christ or God, but what is it like for him to realize that he followed a lie and has led his family down the road of believing a lie instead of the truth of Jesus Christ? It matters what you believe. The truth is Jesus. And Christian, we have the truth. What are you doing with the truth here? Look at what people do for a lie. People go to all sorts of lengths to advance their lies. What are we doing because we have the truth of Jesus Christ? Listen, you're never going to be sorry that you live for the truth, that you live to advance the truth, that you were a tool of God to help His truth go marching on. And friend, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you never embraced the truth of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you today to turn from your sin and to put your complete trust and dependence in Jesus, because Jesus is truth. The truth is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We have the truth. Are you excited about it? Are you eager to advance it? There's a second passage I want you to see from the Gospel of John. Let's turn over to John chapter number 8. The truth is Jesus, and John chapter number 8 is going to tell us that the truth frees us. In this passage of Scripture here in John chapter 8, it was the fall of the year. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Jews had come to Jerusalem for this feast. And Jesus had, in verse number 12, announced that He was the light of the world. And the Pharisees began to debate for some 20 verses or so that what Jesus was claiming about Himself wasn't true. And Jesus began to respond to them, and His response was so powerful and strong that the Bible tells us, look at verse 30, as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Jesus is answering the Pharisees here, and people believe on Jesus. And in the next couple of verses, Jesus stops talking to the Pharisees, and He begins to talk to those who have believed upon Him. What is He going to say to these new believers? What would He say? Verse 31. Would you notice it there in your scriptures? "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." You know, a follower of Jesus Christ sticks in God's word, and God's word sticks in him. And the word "continue" there kind of is the idea that God's word lives inside of you so that you are obeying it. And Jesus is saying, listen, disciples, followers of Jesus, they obey the word. Now look at verse 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Hey, listen, you're a new disciple of Jesus Christ. You need to continue in My words, and then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And there were some people standing around Him that didn't know what Jesus meant by freedom. And so they asked in verse 34, Jesus explains that He's talking about freedom from sin. Listen, I want you to rejoice today as you worship the Lord there. We have the truth, and the truth is Jesus, and the truth frees us. It frees us from sin. Don Richardson tells the story from the 1960s of a remote island in the Pacific Ocean. A man grew up there, and the history of his people for thousands of years had been a brutal history. It was something where in their culture, one of the highest prizes was to make a friendship with someone deliberately out of treachery, scheming over a period of time until that person began to trust you, and then to kill that person, behead that person, and tragically eat that person. There was something that they did in that culture to try to stop something like that from happening. And that was when one tribe would experience something like that. Of course, the desire was horrible for revenge. The other tribe would scheme and plot and plan to kill someone back in revenge for what had been done to some person in their tribe. And so the way, one of the ways that they would stop this is by someone in the tribe giving one of their little infant children to the other tribe. One particular man in the story, his own family had given their baby child, his little baby brother, to the other tribe. And the other tribe was supposed to take care of it. The other tribe was supposed to treasure that child to provide peace between them. But the other tribe killed and ate his little brother. Years had gone by, and this older brother had come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. One day he's standing beside the riverbank there and talking to the missionary when a canoe approaches the shore, and in the canoe is an older man. He's very, very sick. And the man recognizes, the older brother recognizes, that the person that's in that canoe, very, very sick, is the very man who killed his little baby brother and ate him. Immediately, the man wanted to kill him. Immediately, the man wanted to take the life. And this was their culture. This is the way they did it. This is the way they existed out in these primitive, remote places here. And he's talking to the missionaries and saying, just let me take care of this man. You won't have to worry about his sickness at all. I'll kill him here. And he knew, the missionary knew, that in a heartbeat, he would have all sorts of weapons and the man would be dead. And immediately, the missionary began to talk to him and said, no. You know Jesus Christ as Savior. You don't have to do that. You can provide forgiveness to this man. You can forgive him. And as they talked and worked and witnessed and to God's grace here, this man, the older brother, stooped down and picked up the older man and carried the sicker older man ashore to the place where he could receive medical treatment. Now, what had happened there? That man came from a culture, a background of hate and treachery and murder and cannibalism. He came from a background of bitterness and anger, desiring to kill the man who had eaten his little brother. Can you even imagine the feelings and the passion that were flowing through the veins and the heart and the mind of that man that day? But listen, Jesus Christ freed him. When God's Word lived inside of him and he was continuing in God's Word, he knew the truth, and the truth freed him from that bitterness. And listen, I want to ask you today, is there some sort of sin that you are truly in bondage to? And you're in bondage to some anger problems. You really have an anger problem and you're enslaved to that. You really have a dirty mouth. I mean, just things come out of your mouth that as a believer you have no business saying, and you're in bondage to that. You're addicted to some drugs. You're in bondage to it. You're addicted to disobeying your parents. You have just a naughty attitude, and it's like you're chained to this. You're enslaved to this. You really have a problem with just plain being ornery with people and just kind of being nasty to people here. You have a problem with laziness in your life, and you're just addicted to laziness. You have a problem with the slavery of covetousness, and I've got to have this, and I've got to have this, and I've got to have this, and I've got to have all these different things here. Covetousness. Well, listen, I want to tell you today, this passage promises that the truth frees people, and you can be free of it. If you will let God's Word live inside of you and you'll listen to God's Word instead of listening to those feelings that you have, you can be free. I mean, listen, are you tired of confessing the same sin to God over and over and over again? Do you feel like you're nothing but a constant failure? Do you feel that this desire for sin inside of you is like this raging Hong Kong that just can't wait to come out and force you to do its sinful, evil things? God has promised freedom. And you don't have to live in the bondage to sin. Those people who know Jesus Christ, the truth frees us. And friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you ought to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior for a multitude of reasons. And that is one of them, to be freed from the bondage of sin. And listen, Christian, let me ask you, you have that freedom provided for you, but are you still living in bondage to it? The truth frees us. Can I help you to see one more truth? The truth is Jesus. The truth frees us. Let's go to John 17, and we're going to see that the truth dedicates us. It dedicates us to God. John chapter 17, just a few pages in Scripture over. John was the apostle of truth and love. 28 times in the New Testament, I believe it is, the word truth is used. John uses 23 of those times. He was passionate about truth. And in John chapter number 17, this is Jesus Christ praying. And he's praying this wonderful prayer to God. And in John chapter 17, verses 11 down through 16, he's praying about that we would be preserved. Kind of that's the negative side, right? Preserved from sin, not live in sin. But John 17, 17, 18, and 19 are the positive side of it. Not just that we would not live in sin, but that we would be sanctified and given to God. Now let's look at those verses, John 17, 17. Do you have your scriptures open? Let's look at it. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I want you to think about the fact that the truth dedicates us or sanctifies us. That's what the word sanctified means. It means to be dedicated. How is it that people are dedicated to God? You know, what is it that does work in people's life so that they will be 100% committed to serving Jesus Christ with their lives? Hey, listen, what is it that will work in a teenager's life that will cause a teenager to say, I want to live for God with my life, whatever God wants me to do? What is it that will cause a Christian to say, you know what, I want to join the church and I want to be dedicated to the church and I want to be dedicated to serving God through the local church? How does that happen in their life? How does it happen that God will work in the heart of a Minnesotan to say, I'm going to use my wealth and I'm going to use my income for God's honor and God's glory. I'm going to use my time for God's honor and for God's glory. How do you get people to the place where they are dedicated to the cause of Christ and they are dedicated to serving God with their lives? You know, if we could find that key and we could write it in a book, we could sell it to pastors all over America. If we could just wrap that up, how do you get people to be dedicated and committed to Christianity, committed to Jesus Christ and faithful and consistent? Boy, if we could do that, boy, we could just, wow, we would be successful. We would just have so much because everybody's asking that question. It would be epic here. How do you get people to be sanctified? How do you get them to be dedicated? And you know what? This passage has the answer, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How do people get to the place where they're dedicated and wholeheartedly committed to the cause of Christ? Because they have the truth. Because they're in the truth. It starts with them knowing the truth of Jesus Christ. But then it continues with the truth of God's word being inside of them. Let me speak to you as parents here today. Do you want your kids to grow up and serve God with their lives? Do you want them, whatever God calls them to do, ministry or not, to be passionate about Jesus Christ? Do you want that for them? Then you've got to ensure that they're in the truth. You need to have family devotions. You need to provide and challenge your kids as they grow older to spend time in the Word. You need to make sure that they're in the preaching of God's word on a consistent week in and week out basis. They're never going to be dedicated to God and committed to the cause of Christ if they're not in the book. That's how people are sanctified. They're sanctified through the truth. God's word is truth. How about you as adults? Let's do a pop quiz here. In the last 7 days, how many times have you been in God's word? How many days have you opened the Word of God on your own and had a quiet time with God? Listen, as we've gone through this COVID crisis, and this is the 7th Sunday that we've had virtual services like this, how many times have you made it a priority to join us for these services so that you could have God's Word in us? Or is it on 1 week, and then the next week you don't go to church? On 1 week, and then you miss 1 or 2 weeks here. Listen, some of you, maybe when you just came to know Jesus Christ as Savior, you did some of these simple little devotionals, and that's so great. But if you've been walking with Jesus Christ for decades, and all you have is just a minute of Our Daily Bread or something where you spend 30 seconds a day in the Word of God, and that's it, it's time to spend more time in the Word of God here. And we live in a culture where being in the Word of God is so easy. I mean, you can go to Walmart, maybe not today, but you can normally go to Walmart and buy a Bible at Walmart. And you can get them digitally. There's all sorts of apps that have the Bible. And some of the apps will even read the Bible for you. And you can get on your computer and find Bibles. And you can go to radio stations like 10:30 a.m. here in the Twin Cities and hear the Bible read to you and hear Bible preaching. And there's podcasts. Listen, there are all sorts of opportunities for you to be in the Word of truth. Are you in the Word on a daily basis? Listen, some of you need to make the decision that you're going to be in the Word of God on a daily basis. Our church right now is going through, reading through the New Testament in 1 year. Join us on that. Every Sunday we publish what you should be reading for that week in the back of our growth guide. And you know what it is? It's 5 chapters a week, 1 chapter for each workday. And you can get through the New Testament in 1 year. Get in the Word of God. His name was Nicholas. Nicholas had been used of God in a mighty way. By the time of his death, at the age just of 60, God had done a great work through him. Under his leadership, 3,000 people had come to know Jesus Christ as Savior in his movement. 226 missionaries had been sent out. Around-the-clock prayer meeting had been started and been running for 30 years and would continue for another 70 years where people in his movement would pray around the clock, day and night, all week long. Someone was always praying. 30 years after Nicholas's death, the Baptist William Carey would look at Nicholas's mission work and say this, "See what they have done? Can't we as Baptists at least attempt something in service to our same God?" How had all this been accomplished in 60 years? You know, when Nicholas was very young, he experienced something for maybe different reasons, but he experienced something that many children today experience. He grew up with his grandmother. She raised him. And his grandmother was a very, very godly woman. She took him to church several times a week. She made sure that in their home, there were godly people that came to visit. There was times of scripture reading. There were times of prayer. And Nicholas can trace back at least to the age of 6 when he was reading the Bible and praying. How did God use Nicholas so well in the 60 years of his life? Because Nicholas started from an early age in the truth of God's Word. His name was Nicholas Ludwig Count Zinzendorf. And God used him in a great way in the Word of God. Now listen, our world has been turned upside down by a virus. But let me tell you, honestly, for myself, it's been just about as hard to deal with the virus as it has been to deal with all the misinformation and all of the debates and all of the discussion on media and on social media and everything about what is the truth. And honestly, I don't know everything about that. But I rejoice today that the truth is Jesus, and the truth frees us, and the truth dedicates us. The truth is just plain awesome. There was an older man many years ago, and he was traveling across Europe, and he was traveling through a dangerous spot, and sure enough, robbers attacked him. They took everything that he had, and they wouldn't let him go until he promised, "That's all I have. That's all I have. I don't have anything else to give you." The robbers took what they had, what he had, and it was now theirs, and they go one way, and he goes the other way, and when they're safely out of sight, he just happens to touch part of his clothing and he realizes that he had some money sewn into the hem of his clothing. All of a sudden he felt it and realized that he had some money there. Now he felt like he had lied, you know, in the heat of the moment. He didn't even remember it at all. And so he reached into his pocket. He pulled out that piece of money. He turned around and went back after the robbers. He came back and he said, "Sirs, listen, I wasn't lying. I didn't mean to be lying. I just in the heat of the moment, I forgot. I have more money. This is now all that I have." And the thieves kind of just stopped. None of them came and took the money. In fact, a moment later, one of them came up and gave him his possessions back. Another came up and gave him his prayer book back. Another came up and handed him his horse back. They asked him for his blessings and they sent him back on his way with everything back. This man who had told the truth. Listen, the truth is a valuable thing. It's a wonderful thing to have the truth. The truth is Jesus. The truth frees us and the truth dedicates us to serve God with our life. Anytime this week you're frustrated about the lies, remember that we have the truth.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.